Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
If we could, Mr. Medlar is on the way down.
Okay.
Mr. Medlar, if you'd come up to the microphone, please. The question was raised, Janelle, show him where we're talking about there, this pump station someplace on, where is it, George?
Cedar Neck Road there at the lake.
I guess two questions. Does it have the capacity to handle this development? And number two, there's some, a question raised about smell out of the pump station. Is there any, if you could bring us up speed on what that is.
Is there any history of issues with this site?
Not on the Cedar Neck Road side. I cannot say that we have any complaints.
We haven't, okay.
No, it's not like, not like Tingle Avenue, no, by any stretch.
Okay, because some of the residents, or one of the residents referenced in one of the comments that around 4th of July, maybe on big days, big weekends, there is some odor.
I mean, that may be perceived by the individual resident. It has not trickled up to the county engineer as a
And addressed years
ago. Chronic issue.
Years ago, we had a study done for Cedar Neck Road and area, and the plan called for X amount of density or units per acre or something that the sewer could handle and stuff like that. And some of the approvals surpassed that early on. Mm-hmm. And a previous county engineer cited that we're getting to a point where there's possibly some concern about overcapacity or undercapacity, whatever you want to call it, problems in there. What's your assessment of Cedar Neck? Because we've got two other projects under construction
or
in the process.
Would you allow me 5 minutes and I'll be back?
Hmm?
I need to run upstairs and look.
Okay. Oh, no, I'll tell you, we could leave the record open, Mike. Because I think,
okay.
I'd like to anyway defer on it anyway. So why don't we just leave the record for his comments, and we don't have to have him run around.
That's fine.
So we're gonna defer for the day, or is he coming back in 5 minutes?
I'm deferring.
Period.
Period. For his comments.
You're getting me too old to be running up there anyhow.
Well, no, I don't. I think it's.
He's gonna take the elevator.
Just to run up and make some, I mean, he's not had time to think about his study, so he's just going to run up and be able to come down and make some comments. I'd rather him look at it and come back with a more formal
I mean, I'm a semi-serious response. Because we do have a lot of flow data for the various pump stations. If this particular one were on the list, I could answer it within minutes. If it's not, it will require further investigation.
Well,
so in this case, you allow me further investigation, that's great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to close public hearing. Leave the public record open for a response from the county engineer on the question about capacity of that pump station.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, will the applicant have an opportunity, or the public have an opportunity to add anything also?
About the capacity of the pump station?
Based on the county engineer's response. I'm a little
concerned here. Who do you have that's an engineer in sewage that would respond to that?
Well, what I have is I have a letter from Sussex County dated June 13th of this year stating that there's adequate sewer capacity and that the county has the ability and is willing to provide service at this site.
Okay.
So I feel like the rug's being pulled out from under me.
What?
Because now I'm finding out there's a question as to whether or not there's a capabilities or not. All I'm saying is, based on what that response is, I'd like an opportunity to respond
sure.
to it.
Oh, sure. I interpret Mr. Cole's question was a bigger question of that pump station's capacity for Cedar Neck Road also, not just what you want to do here. So,
there was some testimony raised, why I asked, because I read it in our minutes here, about odors and different things coming from the pump station that services that whole area.
And I understand. The point of order I'm just making is, I don't know what that response.
You can
won't even respond.
Okay.
But if there's something in there, I'd like to.
Well, time's not critical here, so yeah, I'm fine with that.
So typically we allow
and a period of 15 days from the time we get information for anybody to respond.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that the motion for, if we make a motion to defer, that motion include the language you used for waiting for the comment from Mr. Medlars concerning that specific issue, and then there would be a period of 15 days after that in writing that Mr. Fuqua or the applicant could respond.
I interpreted Mr. Fuqua, his question would be more of the capacity in the whole area, not just about your specific device.
No.
And as far as the odor, we heard Mr. Vendor say they've received no complaints. So that's a pretty quick answer, I guess. So I guess we need somebody to make that motion.
You have a motion? Typically, we would read the short title, yes, then the motion be made.
Correct.
An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwellings, 20 townhomes to be located on a certain parcel of land, lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 2.3817 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 10, with conditions 11A through N.
Now, Mr. Cole, are you going to make a motion to defer?
I'd like to defer.
Leave the record open.
And leave the record open
for the county engineer to respond to the question about the pump station capacity. And then when we get the information, we will announce that in a public meeting, and the public and the applicant will have 15 days to respond to that.
And Mr. President, I will second the motion. However, I would like to keep it open for 1 week. I don't think Mr. Medler needs any more time.
I'm sure he does.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
1 week,
sure.
Right? And that's he can fine. Come back next week and report, and then we can move forward on that 15 days from there.
Is that okay with Mr. McCollum for 1 week? That's all he needs. He don't have any.
If Mr. Arlett thinks we need to have 1 week, I just would let Mr. Medlars present it when he can get to it.
He said, I don't think he displayed anything needing beyond the 1 week, according to his testimony. Would you agree, Everett?
So the motion is that we're going to allow the record to stay open for 1 week, Mr. Medlar's comment back on the capacity of pump station for Cedar Neck Road, and then we'll announce that hopefully next Tuesday that we got it, and they will have 15 days from that point in time for the applicant and the anybody else, opposition, I guess, to respond to that in writing only. In writing only. Is that okay? Would you answer your question?
Yes.
Anybody got any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Obvious motion carried. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. The next hearing is conditional use number 2131, filed on behalf of CBB Cedar Pines LLC. Yes, Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 11.53 acres, more or less, lying on the east side of Cedar Neck Road, approximately 722 feet north of Yacht Basin Road. The tax map is District 134, Map 9, Parcel 21. The 911 address is not available. Staff would note that the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on June 14th. At that time, a number of items were submitted for the record. They deferred that at that recommendation at that time. At their June 28th public hearing, they did recommend approval for reasons 1 through 5 and conditions 6A through L. Thank you.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuqua, you're up again.
Again, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua, and I represent the applicant, CBB Cedar Pines, LLC. Jeff Clark is with me from Land Tech. Todd Burbage could not be here today. He's the applicant. There was an exhibit book containing supporting documents submitted that included the plus response, the environmental assessment, the public facilities evaluation report, and also included was a record, in the record was a copy of the Commission and Council's minutes regarding conditional use number 1986, which was approved in 2014. And to make a long story short, I was hoping to shorten this presentation up and tell you basically this was an application that had previously been approved, that the time had run out on it, and we're basically seeking reapproval of it. The Planning and Zoning Commission unanimously recommended that, and it's really it fits in as part of a development that's part of an RPC and a conditional use together. However, based on some of the comments that were made on the previous application, I think I'm going to have to tell you about history, even though this history is going to be more than 5 years ago, because history tends to be in the past.
Amazing.
By definition.
Conditional use 1986 approved 30 townhouse units on an 11.56 acre parcel of land located on the east side of Cedar Neck Road. Again, the same road that Mr. Cole goes by many times every single day. Conditional use 1986 was valid for 3 years, but it expired because substantial construction was not underway within the 3 year period. So as I said, today's conditional use application is identical to conditional use 1986, and it's basically intended as a renewal of that application for the same use on the same site. The history here is interesting. I actually represented Alfred Melson and his son Vaughn back in 2003, and they own the entire site, which contains about 29 acres, and that was actually approved as a conditional use for 143 multifamily units, and that was conditional use number 1488. So within a year after that approval, Mr. Melson, who was a fairly young man, died suddenly of a heart attack, and that resulted in some complicated complicated estate and inheritance issues, and that put the development on hold. Several extensions were approved by the county, and eventually enough site work was done for the development to be considered to be substantially underway, keeping it valid. And just about that time, as you'll recall, the economic recession began and all real estate development ground to a halt. Because of the circumstances involving the estate and the inheritance and the disputes, and because of the lack of development experience of the heirs, the heirs sold the property to Castaways Bethany Beach LLC, which was owned by Todd Burbidge, or is owned by Todd Burbidge and his father. In 2012, applications were made for a new plan for development of the site, and that plan proposed an RV camp park and a water-based amusement park, and a public hearing was held by the Planning and Zoning Commission. As you might imagine, that proposal was not warmly embraced by the area neighbors. And that application was actually withdrawn before it ever got to County Council. After that, based on that history, in 2014, three applications were filed, which were really all part of one development. The first application actually was a rezoning of 9.45 acres from C1 commercial to MR. And that is a very unusual zoning application when someone goes from C1 to MR, but that was that application. Then there was a second application that created an MRRPC on 17.8 acres of the overall 29 acre parcel, and that approved 45 single family lots. And then the third leg of this was conditional use 1986 that I mentioned, and that was the approval of the 30 multifamily units. So both the 45 single family lots and the 30 multifamily units were designed as one development to be called the Preserve at Cedar Pines. The Planning Commission unanimously recommended approval, and all three applications were approved by the County Council unanimously. And as I said, this is a request basically for the same thing as CU 1986. What caused the complications in this development was the adoption of the new stormwater regulations that posed some significant engineering and construction challenges on the site. The single-family RPC section of the development actually received final site plan approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission on February 8th of this year. That subdivision, or that RPC, has been recorded, and it is valid for 5 years from the approval date. The conditional use approval for the 30 multifamily units was valid for 3 years, but it expired because, and this is just a little fluke in the ordinance, unlike an RPC, a conditional use is required to be substantially, or construction is required to be substantially underway within 3 years. That requirement doesn't apply to an RPC. So this ran out, the other one didn't. The stormwater issue has been addressed. The entire development will comply with all current DENREC regulations. As to the conditional use application before you today for the 30 units, because the 45 single-family lot RPC has received final approval, and because both of these were designed as one development, most, if not all, of the agency approvals have already been obtained for both. DelDOT has approved the single entrance from Cedar Neck Road, which is the entrance for both the single-family and the multifamily units. Can you put the site plan up there, Jenna? The DelDOT determined that a traffic impact study or traffic impact was negligible and did not warrant a traffic impact study, and of course that is based on the traffic manual that DelDOT uses. Can you blow that up a little bit, the developed portion? Yeah, that's good. As shown on the site plan, the townhouse buildings are located near the entrance to the site, and the townhouses kind of surround the recreational area of the development, and that is the recreational area for both the RPC and the townhomes. Each unit will have two off-street parking places plus one garage parking spot. The units are in 10 buildings containing three units each. There is additional parking being provided, which is about 23 additional parking spaces for guests and overflow. Central water for domestic use and fire protection is from Sussex Shores Water Company. The site is in the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. A sewer concept plan has already been approved by Sussex County Engineering Department. And actually, as you can see that white square there, there's actually a pump station and utility easement that really exist on this site. Stormwater management will comply with DENREC regulations utilizing green technology and best management practices. Wetlands on the entire site were delineated and a preliminary jurisdictional determination was issued by the Corps of Engineers. The location of the 30 townhomes unit is up near Cedar Neck Road. They're far removed from the wetlands, which is located at the eastern extremity of the site. That recreation area that was shown, as I said, is for the entire development. It's located in front of the multifamily units. The amenities will consist of a swimming pool, a sunbathing deck, a pool house, and a fitness room. And again, there is car parking and bicycle area to lock up. The site, similar to the previous application, this site is also located in both the environmentally sensitive development area and the mixed use area under the comp plan, both of which are designated growth zones. And multifamily townhouses are deemed appropriate and are in accordance with the comprehensive plan. And again, the site is in the Indian River School District and the fire protection area of the Millville Volunteer Fire Department. As I stated, the application is identical to number 1986. A reapproval will permit the mixed-use residential community to proceed as planned and as already approved by the County Council in 2014. The Planning and Zoning Commission unanimously recommended approval of the application subject to conditions A through L, and those conditions are acceptable to the applicant, and we would request the Council's approval, again, for the reasons stated by the Commission and for the conditions that were recommended by the Commission. And again, that would conclude our presentation other than any questions you may have.
Question to Council?
So the density is based on the entire site and is what taking in all the wetlands, right?
I got them both ways.
Okay.
The overall development, counting the RPC and the townhouses, mm-hmm. For the overall development, that's a total acreage of 21.91. That's non-wetlands, okay? And that's a net of 3.42 units of the acre.
Including the wetlands in the county?
No, not including the wetlands.
Okay.
Not including the wetlands. For the RPC, that's already approved, that's 14.8 acres, and that's 45 units, or 45 single-family lots, and that's a net density of 3.0 lots per acre. And then for the conditional use, what I'm here today on, that would be a net of 4.23 units per acre, and that is
less than the permitted density in the MR district. Permitted density is about 4.35 in the MR district. So this is within permitted densities. And as I said, it's identical to what was already approved.
And the only reason really you're back here today is because that expired.
Exactly. And as I said, you're looking at just this, but you can see the lots that, sure, that surround this. And it was all one part of one development. Quite frankly, it would have been an RPC, but we couldn't do an RPC because if you do an RPC with multifamily in it, you need, I forget, 40 acres, I think it is. So it wasn't large enough to actually use an RPC.
And what part of this, Jim, will be required to come into the updated, the current regulations? Like you said, stormwater was a big problem. The entire site, even the old RPC, everything's going to be under the current regulations?
Everything's under the current regulations.
Everything, because the place is a mess right now. I mean,
it's about time something gets done down there.
Yeah.
Although, and remember, this also was approved for 147 units back in the early 2003.
And we're down to what now? What is it,
45 single family and 30 multifamily.
45 and 30, so.
Any more questions, Captain? Mr. Burton?
Jim, is the road getting to the MRRPC and to the conditional use, the road that I'm seeing here with the parking spots and the, is it that road?
Can you blow that up a little bit, Jim?
That's the entrance.
It just seems like the, is that guy back into the road from the pool?
Both areas back into the main entrance road.
I mean, does that road go straight through to the RPC?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the only entrance, correct?
Yes.
Janelle, is that something you like as a professional planner? What are your comments on that?
Well, the number of entrances is going to be dictated by DLDOT. Right. The overall acreage and the overall unit number of units, one, based on a planning perspective, one entrance could be sufficient.
It's the parking.
Yeah, can you get two
parking
configuration?
Can you get two cars
on that main entrance?
They're going to back into each other potentially if they're not paying attention.
Is there a better way to do that?
But the site plan would do.
How about your planner over there?
I mean, that's something that can be reviewed in the site plan if the conditional use is approved.
Oh, and 12 cars got them on that stops.
It's probably not an ideal situation, is what I think. Is that what you're thinking, IG?
It looks very tight to me.
I think some of the scale, because it's no different than any multifamily development on both sides of a street. It's really no different than that.
What's the distance? Tell me the road width, the actual travel lane.
25 feet.
Without the cars.
Back of parking spot to back of parking spot. So the parking spots that are 18 feet deep, backing onto a 25-foot cartway.
Jeff, will you give us your name and position for the record?
For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a landscape architect representing the application.
Does it appear wider, Jeff, in the in where the townhouses are, you know, around that back, the north side of that pool? See where you got that kind of boomerang shaped?
Same.
Is that a wide or is that just 25 feet also?
Same.
25 feet also.
Any other questions?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen too many, like with the RPCs. It's usually there's like a road like Salt Pond goes all around. No cars are coming out on that one main road. And, you know, there's usually a not this situation. So right at the entrance. So anyway. And there was no other way to reconfigure that to put additional parking elsewhere?
I thought the guest parking was important in this setting.
Oh, we didn't know there are. I agree with that. We don't require enough parking.
Yeah,
was there any other areas that could?
No, because of the rest of it is a single family lot, so there really isn't any excess open space. There's about 17. Is it 17 extra parking spaces? About 17 extra parking spaces. So it may look a little tighter because we provided the parking spaces, but I think it'd be worse not to provide the parking spaces because, you know, as you pointed out, they're needed at times.
They're needed.
This plan was approved and it expired.
This is exactly the plan that was approved.
It was a walk down memory lane for me, as far as I'm concerned. I remember all
you on planning.
You would certainly think a 25-foot roadway is wide enough.
So you voted for it the first time around?
Not the water park.
Oh, I know that.
No. Let's forget the water.
Nobody voted for the water
park. Let's not bring that back up.
No, that wasn't. Any more questions of council? Okay. Thank you, sir.
If there's not, is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close the public hearing. It's okay. Rest of council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore read a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 11.53 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 5 and with conditions number 6A through L as suggested by planning and zoning.
Pleasure, council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett, to approve conditional use 2131 for the reasons from planning and zoning and with the condition planning and zoning put in there. Any questions? We will take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
I will vote yes in favor per planning and zoning's recommendation.
Mr. Burton.
I'll vote in favor of planning and zoning's recommendation.
Mr. Wilson.
I'll vote in favor of planning and zoning's recommendations.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes with the conditions.
I also agree with planning and zoning's recommendation and conditions. I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next hearing, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2149, filed on behalf of Covered Bridge Trails, LLC. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for an amendment of a condition of approval and revise the area of the conditional use of 2012 ordinance 2430 to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 36.647 acres more or less, lying on the north side, north end of Tulip Drive, approximately 480 feet north of Coastal Highway Route 1. The tax parcel is District 335, Map 11, Parcel 59. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing at their June 28th meeting. At that meeting, they did recommend approval of the request to amend the condition of approval for reasons 1 through 6. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from council? If not.
Good afternoon, Mr. President and members of council. My name is Ring Lardner, principal and professional engineer with the firm Davis Bone & Friedel, 1 Park Avenue, Milford, Delaware, 19963. With me this afternoon is Mr. Preston Shell, managing member of Cover Bridge Trails, LLC. I promise to be very brief today. Today we're here with two separate requests regarding a condition and the boundary of conditional use 2012 as adopted by County Ordinance 2430. This request is following the procedures as outlined in the recently adopted County Ordinance 2558, where all condition revisions must be reviewed by public hearing by both the Planning and Zoning Commission and County Council, regardless of where the condition was originally approved. So today's hearing is only about the change in condition and the boundary limits. First item I'd like to review is the change in condition A. On the screen is a copy of the approved site plan, where County Council had approved the conditional use with condition A stating there shall be no more than 134 units, being a mixture of 43 single family units and the balance split between duplex units and townhouse units. Because this condition does not say minimum or maximum for single family units, the project cannot increase or decrease the number of single family homes. We believe that County Council would have no objection if we increase the number of single family homes, as that would generally decrease the total number of units. So we are asking that County Council approve condition A to be revised so that the condition would read, there shall be no more than 134 units, being a mixture of a minimum of 43 single family units and a balance split between duplex units and townhouse units. Our second request is to amend the boundary of the conditional use. As you may recall, Lot 1 of the Dutch Acres subdivision, formerly known as Davis Parcel, was included in the conditional use as we thought it was appropriate considering the impact development would have on this lot in order to construct the required infrastructure. And at the time, we didn't know how much of that lot would be needed, so we thought it'd be more prudent to include the whole lot than try to figure out what portion of the lot would be necessary. It was also noted that the house would more than likely be demolished, which it is today if you've driven past it, as this would allow the infrastructure to be installed and rights-of-way easements to be created without regard to an existing house. As you may recall, this project originally showed 13 single-family homes between Dutch Acres and Black Hawk Gut, and they were kind of in this area here. And just to refresh council, that was the original site plan that we presented before you, and those are the 13 homes that I'm referring to in this case. So as you can see on this plan here, as part of your approval, you're required that those 13 homes could not be located between Dutch Acres and Black Hawk Gut, and thus had to be incorporated into the other side of Dutch Acres. So with this change, the reconfigured parcel is kind of an orphan to Coverbridge Trails. A new lot was not created, but was reconfigured into the parcel you see today. So it is still technically lot one of Dutch Acres, it's just a reconfigured parcel. Coverbridge Trails is always intended to build a house on that reconfigured parcel. By amending Condition A, it allows a 44 single family home to be constructed and still remain under the maximum number of units. By amending the boundary, it allows a single-family house to be constructed and removed the conditional use and any condominium fees that may be required as they are so far away from the rest of the project. Like I said, the reconfigured lot is the furthest away from Coverbridge Trail and is more appropriate to remain a part of Dutch Acres versus Coverbridge Trails. We thank you for your time and consideration of our requests, and both of us are here to answer any questions you may have.
So the change is basically to do what? Be able just to put a house on that?
Well, we can put a house on there now. What we're asking is that this parcel
just
be removed out of the conditional use. It stays part of Dutch Acres and everything else stays the same. And the minimum of 43, if they want to do a 44 single family in the main property 45th, they can do that. And basically you would lose a duplex or townhouse.
Does it meet Dutch Acres restrictions or any? I mean, does it fall into all their guidelines? I don't know what the restrictions
they
are.
They don't even have any HOA restrictions or any restrictions.
Okay.
So just Preston Shaw with the applicant. This was, if you recall, Mr. Cole, this was a meeting where you kept questioning Lawrence Blank.
Me?
Yeah, you kept saying, I don't understand. Why do you want them to have exactly 43 single family homes? And then he would give you an answer that no one would really understand.
Oh,
he
did.
No, and finally you gave up. You're like, okay, exactly 43 single family homes. But you thought a minimum of 43 single family homes.
I'm totally giving up now.
Would have been more appropriate.
Any more questions of council?
You'll miss me when I'm gone.
None. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Seeing none. Is there anyone that would speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none. Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council to close public record. Ask Mr. Morbid a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for an amendment of condition of approval and revise the area for conditional use number 2012, ordinance number 2430, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 36.647 acres, more or less, reasons 1 through 6.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion?
Can I ask
Mr.
Cole? A question? Mr. Vincent made a face at me a little while ago. The piece between Dutch Acres and the gut, whether we eliminated all that, what is happening in that area?
It's just natural woods.
Nothing, right?
Right.
Okay, it's left in its original state and everything else.
It pains me to say this.
It looks good.
It was probably the right thing to do.
Thank you, sir. There, on that note, I'm out of here.
Sure, Lord, sit down a minute.
Environmental.
The only time.
Oh, come on, Fred.
Any more comments?
I just wanted the rest of them to hear. That's good. Thank you very much.
We're going to take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
After that most recent testimony just now, I believe it is very appropriate for me to say yes per planning and zoning's recommendation and the public testimony just provided.
But you should get out of it. You should listen.
Mr. Burton.
That's what you should get out of it.
My motion is for approval with the conditions of planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson?
If Mr. Burton says there's enough buffer there, so I should vote for it.
So you're a yes vote?
Yes.
Agreeing with planning and zoning reasons. Okay. Mr. Cole?
Yes, with the conditions.
I also agree with planning and zoning's recommendation. I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, he said George Cole.
I can't wait to my next cocktail party. Preston, I'm going to start bragging. I'm going to tell everybody that story. They won't believe it.
Honestly, probably brought up all
You might be shunned by your peers.
All these lots are worth a lot more because there's not homes right here.
Bingo.
And that was really expensive infrastructure to put in. Not to mention knocking down a ton of, there's really mature trees back
gorgeous.
There.
Gorgeous.
So it was the right thing to do.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. Yeah, it's a buffer, Sam.
Entertain motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole.
Yes, I hope you all heard that.
We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
We're now adjourned. Thank you. I vote yes. We're now adjourned.
Especially
thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Arlett.